This is your station, 88.9 KETR. Cooper Welch here, and Ryan Billups, Taylor Phelps as well. This is KETR's Locker Room. Coming up on this show, we've got quite a lot of interesting topics. First, we've got Rachel Robertson with volleyball stuff and track as well, her plans for the future. Then we'll go the A&M Commerce Week in Review. After that, we've got a rather controversial topic. Should college athletes be paid? We'll cover some more stuff after that, but first, let's go to Rachel Robertson. Rachel, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm from Princeton, Texas. I'm a senior, 21. I played volleyball for about 10 years or so. This past season, I was at Lone Star Conference Offensive Player of the Year. I got my 1,000th career kill, so that was pretty exciting. What else do you want to know?
Okay, well, first off, for those of us that don't know, what's a kill? Just explain that.
Pretty much any time you make the ball hit the ground on the other side, basically.
So basically you go up, spike the ball, no defender touches it, that's a kill?
Right, okay. Or if they do touch it, but...
It bounces out of bounds.
Right.
Okay. Well, first, what's your opinion on how this last season ended?
I thought it went really well. It was a good way to end my career. We went back to the conference tournament for the first time since my freshman year. Even though we lost in the first round, you know, I loved all my teammates, and I thought, you know, we played well together. Mm-hmm. We all got along. It was a good season.
What was your favorite moment?
The Abilene Christian game.
Okay, we heard Coach Case talk about that before. I'm going to go to a different topic, not about volleyball, not about track, but I just want to know, you've been here for 4 years, what's the one thing you would change about the athletic department, whether it's a building, a new sport, what is something that you would like to see? If you could have something, leave your mark on this program and change anything you could, what would it be?
That's a hard one. I think I'd just like to see more unity within the athletic department. I think there's a lot of competition, obviously, when you get a lot of athletes together. And I think this, with the different sports, like, we don't even play each other, so we shouldn't be competing for who has more money, more support. Like, we should all be more supporting each other and things like that.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, so you're also a... You also decided to do track this year, right? Is this your first year to do track?
Yeah, since high school.
So tell us about that. What made you decide to do that? What you're going to be doing in track?
Well, I only have one class since I'm graduating. That's all I need, so I wasn't going to take any more. And then about the first week of the semester, I realized how much free time I had, and I was going crazy because I didn't have practice or meetings or anything. And I've always wanted to high jump. When I first came here for volleyball, I thought I was going to do both sports, and it didn't work out that way. So since I had, like, the opportunity, and after getting coach's blessing, I just decided to go ahead and do it. I don't know how well it's going to turn out, but it's more of a personal accomplishment, I think.
Yeah. What's it like? What's the difference between Coach Case and Coach Schneider, your track coach? What makes it so different?
Well, with team sports, you know, the coach is more, like, on you and the team and more monitoring, I think. And with track, you know, it's a lot. It's an individual sport. It's a lot on you. You're responsible for a lot of things, how hard you want to work and things like that. So I definitely think, with team sports, you know, the coach, I feel, needs to be more involved, and maybe with, like, a – individual sport, you know, the coach is more or less there to, as a guide, like, I don't want to say guideline, but it's more up to you.
Are they,
like,
more motivational too?
Yeah.
Are they?
Okay. Right. It's like, it's up to you how hard you want to work in anything. So.
So they tell you, you can be as good as you can be by how hard you work, I guess.
Right. Like.
Instead of letting the team down, you're letting yourself down.
Right.
Okay. What are your prospects for yourself in track? What do you think you can accomplish? You've accomplished so much as a volleyball player. So.
Well, I jumped 5'6" in high school, and that was 4 years ago, and, like, probably 30 pounds ago. So we will see how this goes. But, you know, I kind of want to, I'm hoping to at least get that, obviously.
Were you recruited in track by more schools than just here? Or?
Well, no, because I'd already signed for volleyball before my track season. And then that was my best track season, so I didn't even.
Yeah, I see.
But I'd already spent all this like time on volleyball that I knew that that's what I was going to end up getting a scholarship in if I worked hard enough.
Okay, so. And I have one more question about sports. So you've done volleyball, you've done track, you're about to do track. What would be another collegiate sport if you had the time that you would have, I wish I would have pursued that, or that's a cool sport, I wish I would have been able to do that?
Well, I started out as a basketball player, and then I kind of decided against that because I was like really skinny and tall, and I just thought I'd just get hurt. But in high school, I was actually the goalie for the soccer team, and I really liked that, except it was freezing. But I think if I could have pursued a different sport, maybe soccer, or if I wasn't so tall, gymnastics would have been fun.
Oh, yeah, cool, definitely.
But that would have never worked out.
All right. Well, can you tell us any plans for the future after school?
I can tell you ideas that I might have, but I actually just had like a phone interview today with a school up in Kansas for a GA position. So hopefully we'll find out Friday. It's the first one I applied for, so it's, you know, even if I don't get it, at least I know like how the process works. I currently coach 11-year-olds. I have a club team that I coach, so I might either go to grad school or work and get a job. Or I entertained keep playing, but I'm not sure if that's something that I want to do anymore. So I got about three different options that are very different.
Well, you'll definitely have options
to choose from.
Well, as a fellow senior, it's definitely strange thinking about getting out in the world, and Billups can say the same.
Yeah,
it's a interesting experience graduating from college. So, all right. Well, do you guys have anything else for Rachel?
I don't. I think that's it.
Well, let me ask you. You said you were doing track and high jump, and you in high school you jumped. What did you say? A 5'6"?
Yes.
So you jumped. Have you gone out there and practiced at all since then? Have you done trial runs? What are you jumping right now?
Well, I got, like, my steps, and I had shoulder surgery about 2 months ago. So, and unfortunately, the same, that's the arm that you, like, drive up with is my right arm, and I'm not fully cleared to do that. So I haven't got, like, very many jumps, just kind of my steps down, like really down, because I do that every day. And yeah, I haven't jumped yet, so I'm not sure what's going to happen.
So we'll see soon, though.
Yeah, there's the first track meet is actually March 2nd, and there's a lot of talent on the track team this year. There's a lot of fast people, a lot of good jumpers. So
you think you'll be able to compete then on March the 2nd? Do you think you'll be ready?
Yeah, I hope so.
Okay.
I'll at least.
So you're going through rehab at the same time as you're working out.
Practicing.
So that's tough.
All right. Well, you're welcome to stay for the second segment where we're going to cover the should college athletes be paid question. Real quick, though, let's sum up the rest of A&M Commerce Week in Review as we talked about. So first, basketball. Taylor, tell us what happened this week.
Well, let's start with the women first. Tonight, against ACU, the women are sixth in conference right now at 5-7, which is a huge improvement off of last year. But tonight they take on the third team in the Lone Star at 10-3 in ACU, so that should be a good game. And the men take on the same way. The men is a lot closer than the women's. I think that the women's the top three all have 10 plus wins,
right.
And the rest are competing to make the conference tournament. Well, the men's, the top three are above the rest, but the rest is just everyone's 4 and 5, 5 and 6. All of that stuff. So this week is key for the Lions. It's key for us as we take on ACU and Angelo State, where we could drop anywhere from 10th to the 10th seed, and we could raise anywhere to the 4th or 3rd seed. So it's very important tonight as well as Saturday at Angelo.
All right. Well, the only other thing we've got in this segment is Danny Mason is trying to get into the NFL. He's just graduated from school. He played in the Texas versus the Nation game this last weekend. He played about 45% of the game, according to the article on lineathletics.com. He had three tackles, excuse me, two solo, and one pass breakup. So we just wanted to quickly sum that up. All right, we're going to move on to the second segment right after this quick break.
Hello, I'm the host of Latin Soul, David Herbaz. Join me on Tuesday night for a show that will spice up your life with selections of jazz and soul and more in a Latin style. Latin Soul, Tuesday night at 9, only on 88.9 KETR.
This is KETR's Locker Room, the best and only sportscast for Northeast Texas. I'm Cooper Welch here with my other hosts, Ryan Billups and Taylor Phelps. Say hello, guys, real quick.
How's it going?
Hello.
All right, and we've also got Rachel Robertson here with us. She's our guest host this week. Rachel, let's talk a little bit about our controversial topic this week. Should college athletes be paid?
Well, if you get a scholarship, that's nice, but I would like, you know, maybe a stipend to live on a little bit because it's hard to work. You got practice and then, you know, class, and by the time that's all done, like, you're just, you want to eat and, like, go to sleep, and, you know, you just don't really have a whole lot of time to work. So.
Give us a number of, like, every 2 weeks, how much would you want to get paid?
Like 150. That's not asking too much.
So you're just asking for food money, basically.
Yeah, I wouldn't be able to eat.
Go to the movies, things like just some little spending money.
Yeah,
here and
I don't even have to go to a movie. I just want to eat.
That's all that's important.
Well, that's a lot smaller of an amount than a lot of people. I think, who was it, Saban, that came out and said he wanted somewhere close to $4,000 a month for every college. I guess D1 athlete.
Yeah, and that's besides the scholarship too.
That's not counting the scholarship. I don't think college athletes should be paid. D1 athletes, their scholarships can range anywhere from $30,000 to $200,000, depending on the school, private, public. And I think if you start to pay athletes, you kind of take away the value of the education. You're saying it's not priceless anymore,
right?
Less than 10% of student athletes will make it to the pro level. A study from the University of Washington reports that having a bachelor's degree is worth $1.6 million more in a lifetime than those who do not continue school after high school. That's a 71% increase in money over a lifetime just for having a bachelor's degree.
Right.
I can't justify giving them money and taking away the value of education. I think there's also quite a few issues when you look at it. You know, one of the biggest issues is corruption. Mm-hmm. You see, like, Cam Newton a couple years ago, he was acquitted. There was no charges against him or anything, but there were reports of money paid to him and his family as high as $180,000. Other athletes, you've heard stories of cars, jewelries, houses, all sorts of types of payments. I don't think a small stipend is going to stop any type of corruption on that level.
Okay.
And then I think the biggest reason not to do it is it is extremely expensive to run a football program. You have factors like facilities, equipment, travel, lots of things. And I think there's a misperception around the country that all football and basketball programs and all universities programs are profitable.
Right.
Out of 120 D1 schools, only 12 broke even or made a profit. And that's D1. Most D2 schools probably lose money.
Mm-hmm. They do.
So when you look at all the losses and money, if you add on a stipend to each athlete at the school, you can't just give it to the football players or the basketball players. You'd have to give it to every. So that's hundreds of athletes at each school. Mm-hmm. That you would have to give a stipend of $2,000 to $3,000 a month to each of those players. If the programs are already losing money, how are they going to pay to fund those players? Are they going to have to cut other sports? Are they going to have to cut smaller sports? I think eventually, if you were to start paying athletes, you would see some of the smaller sports disappear from programs, and programs would start offering less sports.
Or you'd start to see higher prices at venues. Like, to get into, let's say, Darrell K. Royal Memorial Stadium at UT, it'd be hundreds of dollars instead of, you know, get a student pass and can go all the games for like $45. So that could raise ticket prices.
And if they decrease the number of sports, that decreases the number of opportunities available for student athletes.
That's true.
And then you lose the heart and passion of the game. The reason people love college football and college basketball and any college sport is that they're not playing for money. They're playing for their team. They're playing for their family. They're paying for, you know, the fans, their school, their pride, and you lose that in the professional sport, and I think that's a special thing that you need to hang on to.
I think while your points make sense, they're flawed in a way, because yes, athletes shouldn't be paid. Yes, there's corruption, but no matter how much you pay these students, there's going to be corruption. There's a battle. $2,000 stipend from, it's reported in the New York Times as something that's being suggested. That's not that much money. That's not going to make a difference, and that's for all the athletes. And when you look at the coaches, 53.4 million dollars was awarded in salaries to college football coaches. That's college football coaches, and zero was the salary for college football players. Now, while they get scholarships, that also makes a difference. But these players are spending a lot of time doing something that's not an internship. This is something that, like you said, will not be part of their career. They will not all be professional athletes. So they're spending a lot of time dedicating their time to a university to only get a scholarship. Lots of academic scholarships.
Which is huge, though. The amount of money in that scholarship is huge.
Yeah, it's a ton of money, but also the intelligent kids that get scholarships, I mean, not that athletes aren't intelligent. There's plenty of them that are. But I'm talking the kids that are on academic scholarship.
Right.
They're like getting to tutor. College. Like the Honors College here. They're getting to tutor and get paid. Mm-hmm. They're getting paid $15 an hour to tutor. Mm-hmm. Well, why don't we pay kids $15 an hour for their time to compete in athletics? When they go on these road trips, you can't study for homework when you're gone for 2 days. That's 48 hours worth of work for your university that you could get paid for instead of just a scholarship.
Right. And as Rachel said, you can't really hold a job when you're gone all the time.
No, you can't. And people don't want to hire you. Mm-hmm. They want athletes. They say they want athletes, but they want people that are there. They want people that can take shifts. I know Rachel works at the rec, and I do too. Mm-hmm. We're both athletes that work at the rec. We can only work two shifts a week. We don't get promoted. Mm-hmm. We don't get promotions, and one reason is because we're never there. They don't see us there because we work two times a week. So Billups has good points, and they make sense. But at the same time, I just think they're wrong, because these athletes, when you look at what they're doing for the university, the promotion they're doing for the university, like Johnny Manziel at Texas A&M, think of how much money he's going to bring to that university without getting paid for it. Think of the video games that they come out with now that these players don't get paid for, and they don't put the name on the back of the jersey, but they know who that is. Mm-hmm. People buy that game and they know who Johnny Manziel is.
Yeah,
and they know who Manti Te'o is. And they see the person on the cover and they're not getting paid for that. When Michigan had the Fab Five, they were selling their jerseys without the name on the back, but they knew that was their jersey. Mm-hmm. And they saw those in windows and they said, why am I not getting paid for that? Why do I not get compensation for that? They're banking off of me. These coaches are banking off their players and their university. They have endorsements. Mike Krzyzewski, the basketball coach at Duke, he has, I think it's American Express or Discover Card or something like that. He has endorsements. He has paid millions of dollars for that. These coaches are getting paid a lot of money to, like the university wants them to, bring money back to it. Bring students that want to come to the University of Kansas, they want to come to the University of Texas because of basketball programs and football programs. Mm. But the players aren't getting that. they are getting the education, but a lot of these players, I mean, I know fellow athletes, they're not going to use that education because some of them are going to go on professional.
Right.
Some of them are going to get a degree in interdisciplinary studies and end up being media people or, mm-hmm. you know, working for a business or something because they want athletes. So, I mean, there's good points on both sides, but I think $2,000 per person is not that big of a hit to a university that funds millions of dollars into their athletic programs.
But that's to the top schools. You look at outside of those top 12 that aren't breaking even.
Yeah, and those break even
bankrupt.
Numbers too.
They're losing 10 sports at their school if they start paying every
And those
student.
Break even numbers too, though. That's football and basketball paying for those sports
exactly.
too anyway.
Right.
So they are paying for those sports.
So the schools that aren't being funded by, or all the schools are being funded by football and basketball. But let's say the schools that are below even, that are below the mark, they're losing money. What are they going to cut first? It's not going to be football and basketball.
It's true. But I agree with you that maybe I agree with your point in paying them. Now, there's been talk about a pay for play model. That's wrong. That will destroy college sports mm-hmm. because then it becomes, well, Alabama's going to sneak me some extra money, which they're going to do anyway. I mean, I'm not accusing any school of anything, but I know it happens.
Right.
We all know it happens.
Yeah,
just like we know
regulations all time.
Just like we know there's corruption in all sports.
But how much harder would it be to regulate the corruption level if payers are getting paid? How much harder would the NCAA have to crack down on that?
But are you going to punish the players that are maybe the second string that aren't getting paid? Because they're not all getting paid.
Right.
Now, the top recruits in the nation, they are. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's some of them that are. But not the third or fourth guy on the bench that shows up to practice every day and shows up to film. He's not getting paid.
I feel like this is a bigger issue in men's sports. Because the whole time, like, that y'all have brought up any football, basketball. Like, nobody, I don't think,
true.
Being a woman, and Ryan said that the first things to get cut would probably be, like, the lower women's sports programs. And even though there's Title IX and all that, but at the same time, like, and you always hear of men getting paid extra money. Like, I haven't really heard of that. If y'all have heard of, like, a woman getting paid extra or anything,
I've never heard.
Yeah,
and the NCAA, I don't think, monitors it.
Right.
Even if there was.
And girls, we're not like, oh, well, I need a new Rolex and I need it. Like, we're just like, well, we just want to play and, you know, take out our anger in a sport and keep in shape. Like, I think that's kind of how, like,
that's true.
Girls see it. But for guys, it's more. It's kind of weird that I'm about to say this, but for guys with sports, and they want to be more flashy and materialistic, which you'd think it would be the other way around.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
All right, well, that's going to sum up our second topic of this week. Stick around. We've got some more topics coming up. Of course, we're going to cover the Super Bowl. We'll talk a little bit of Cowboys if we have some time left in that segment. Then we'll move on to the Mavericks in college basketball, and we'll sum up with next week's sporting events. Stay tuned. This is KETR's Locker Room.
In a world overrun by formulaic, cookie-cutter, predictable radio stations, there remains one radio refuge where you can still find hand-picked, eclectic playlists featuring artists from all around the great state of Texas. With the genre barriers torn down, we can bring you an incredible mixture of music unrivaled in Northeast Texas. Notably Texan, starring the Music of Texas, featuring Matt Minky, tonight at 6 on KETR.
Listen to the Diane Rehm Show and your world expands. You'll meet presidents and authors, scientists and celebrities, and ordinary people doing extraordinary things. Come to a place where you can join the conversation each weekday on the Diane Rehm Show. Tomorrow morning at 9 on your station, 88.9 KETR.
KETR's listeners love to cook, bake, and entertain at home. Where's the first place they think of for that hard-to-find spice, the handiest utensil, or the latest in cookbooks? Probably someplace they've heard about on their favorite public radio station. Find out how you can be a program underwriter by calling 903-513-9684.
Is KETR's Locker Room, the only sports podcast for Northeast Texas. I'm Cooper Welch, one of your hosts, along with Ryan Bilps and Taylor Phelps, and our guest host, Rachel Robertson. She's still sticking around. We're going to talk a little bit of the Super Bowl. So, guys, first, let's talk final score. All three of us last week predicted that the Ravens were going to win, so congrats. High fives all around.
Thank you.
I do want to say, I did say it was a field goal difference, so it was, right, even though...
I think we all said that, didn't we? No? Yeah.
No, Cooper had
I said it was going to be a blowout.
Yeah.
It was the first half.
It could have been a blowout.
Before the lights went off. I was thinking you were going to be there, but I don't know. Kaepernick screwed up at the end.
I think that blackout might have had a little something to do with that.
Yeah, that had a little bit momentum to come back. Definitely.
Right. All right. Well, so we predicted the Ravens were going to win. Rachel, what did you say was going to happen?
I'm a 49ers fan. Oh. I was really upset. I thought, you know, besides the pass interference at the end, you know, that they didn't call, that's fine.
Oh, well, we can talk about that later.
Yeah, that'll be later on. Okay. Well, okay, so we know what happened. Let's talk a little bit. Favorite moments. First, favorite commercial. I'm going to go ahead and say my favorite commercial had to be the M&M's commercial that was Meatloaf's I'll do anything for love, but I won't do that.
Yes.
Or that. That was my favorite. What about you guys?
You want to go ahead, Taylor?
You can go.
Okay. Mine was a pretty controversial commercial, and most people hated it. I thought it was hilarious, however. It was the Perfect Match commercial from GoDaddy.
Right.
It was the sexy side of GoDaddy versus the smart side, and they had supermodel Bar Raffaelli, is that pronounced right?
Yeah. Sports Illustrated cover model,
And nerd Jesse Hyman. And basically, they make out for a good, 20 seconds in the
just
commercial?
Just the listening, and it's like they upgraded the music to make you be able to hear it.
They zoomed in on the mouth and the tongue. I mean, it was outrageous, but it was absolutely hilarious. Afterwards, Jesse Hyman said the commercial took about 50 takes, which is pretty funny. He said each take felt like paradise.
I can see that.
And he said he felt he had won the championship of men.
Right. Okay. Well, Taylor, what about
mine
you?
Mine was, I'm from the lick of 10,000 licks, man.
That was pretty
that
good.
That was the best one, I promise you. He walks in past the...
I don't know if I saw that one.
He walks in past, he's walking around, and he has this... It's just a white guy with a Jamaican accent.
Right.
And he's walking around, and it's a Volkswagen commercial. I don't even understand why, what it had to do with anything.
Well, it's because...
it's just Live Happy.
The song that was playing
was
a Jamaican song.
Was
you know.
The... Yeah, the song. I think it was Bobby McFerrin's song or something like that. And he just walks around. He goes by a snack machine, and the guy's there, and he can't get the cinnamon roll to fall down. And he's like, "The Cinnabon will come soon, man." And it was just the funniest commercial.
It was pretty
good. I also liked the one where I think it's a Hyundai commercial, and he comes by, and they're lifting weights. He goes to recruit his football
team. Yes,
he goes to get his friends.
Team.
One of his friends is like wrestling a bear, has a bear in a headlock, gets him. One kid takes a burning man out of a burning building.
Right.
It is just they had some funny commercials, and people were complaining about there not being enough, but there's not. I mean, they had some good commercials too. Yeah. I thought the car commercials were the best ones.
Yeah. I mean, it was nothing like, you know, Doritos ads from 2009.
There's some that are just
Doritos were awesome
beat.
The last few years, but this year they just really didn't have the same.
Yeah, I didn't even see the Doritos ads.
I saw a couple, but they just weren't.
They
really
had one where some men were dressed up as women. It was
y'all see the goat one where the goat was eating the Doritos.
Oh right, one. Yeah.
They just weren't as funny as the years past. Yeah, they were funny. But
there was also a commercial I read about with Will Ferrell.
Yeah, that one
was only seen
see
in some places. I think parts of Texas and somewhere
up
north.
It was for a beer.
Old Milwaukee beer or something. Right. And he's he was just making out with this old Asian woman. And that's all it was. That's all it was. It zoomed out. Old Milwaukee beer.
Yeah, old Milwaukee beer.
And it zooms in on him. And this is like a 40-second, minute-long commercial. And they're just kissing. And then it zooms out. Keeps zooming out real slow. Shows like an old Milwaukee beer in a guy's sack, like his grocery sack, and then zooms back in, and that's the.
So was it just showed in places that beer was sold? I guess
I think so. Something like that.
All right. Well, what about you, Rachel? What was your favorite commercial?
I like the one he said where the kids, the mom was just like, "Go get your friends" or whatever.
I really liked that one. That was a funny commercial.
Yeah, I liked. They showed two different versions of that. First, before the Super Bowl, they showed him getting all the people together, and then they show up at the field. But they didn't show at the end in the Super Bowl commercial, he actually kicks the football back at those guys. And in the original commercial, they don't show him like throwing it back. And so I thought that was cool that they changed it up a little bit for the Super Bowl. All right, well, that's favorite commercials. The commercial that won the TV ad voting, by the way, was the Clydesdale commercial. I don't know if you guys saw that with the Budweiser beer commercial.
Yeah. It was the Clydesdale came running back.
It just wasn't funny.
It wasn't funny. It was well done. Right. All right. Well, let's talk favorite moment of the Super Bowl now. So let's start off first with Rachel. What do you think?
Do you have a favorite moment, Rachel? Was it when the 49ers came back?
I was excited when they came back, but then they lost. I like the halftime show. I always look forward to the halftime show.
It was good for guys too.
Oh, I bet. There's 30 Beyoncés on stage.
But I read somebody's tweet said, when you have two giant Beyoncé faces and 30 clones of Beyoncé, yeah, the power's going to shut down.
Yes. Pretty much.
Okay, well, how about you, Taylor? What was your favorite moment of the Super Bowl?
Easily Jacoby Jones kickoff.
His touchdown return?
Easily. 108-yard kickoff return in a Super Bowl. You know that's like...
the record.
Yeah that's like, and that's ridiculous.
Yeah. And to grab the ball at the back of the end zone and just go.
Yeah, your grandkids play. And what's funny is in the Super Bowl, if you watch kickoff returners, they want to catch it so bad because they're thinking... You know, any normal game is like, you know, whatever. But the Super Bowl, how many chances do you get to return kickoffs on the Super Bowl? Like, you're so pumped up and ready to go, and it's got to be great.
To take it from that far deep in the end zone and go.
I think that should have never happened. No. I mean, you could see the Niners just splitting away. He didn't even get touched more than twice. Yeah. That was just ridiculous.
In that moment, it just felt like it was game over. That put him up 28-6. I mean, it just felt like it was. And then the lights went out.
The whole game, I was thinking, though, do not sleep on Kaepernick. Do not sleep on this 49ers team because this has happened before.
Right.
And
they never turn it on until the fourth quarter.
Yeah, Kaepernick's just a young guy, so I think he's not playing without a conscience, which is good and bad. Mm-hmm. But I think it really, really helps them having a young quarterback. And I think Alex Smith would have been more rattled had he – and I still think the 49ers would have made the Super Bowl with Alex Smith. And we'll talk about that later about where he's going to go.
Well, but you had a lot of people chanting to put Alex Smith in the game when they were down 28-6.
That's true, though.
I mean, you had a lot of people wanting Alex Smith back in the game, but they stuck with him. And, I mean, it paid off to an extent. They brought him back.
Alex Smith's head.
Yeah, he's like, I'm going to get a chance. I could see that,
or I could see him being, you know what? Forget all you guys. Like, I hope we win a ring, but you know, we're down 28-6
Did you see his media day face? Like, all the reporters came up to talk to him, and he had headphones on, didn't talk to anybody, just sat there.
I could see that. Like, if I was him, all they're going to ask me is questions that I don't want to hear.
Yeah, questions you don't want to answer.
Exactly.
Yeah, why do you think you were benched?
Right.
Who wants to hear that question?
It's like, why didn't talk to you guys?
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on to Billups. What was your favorite moment?
I'm with Taylor. I think it was the kickoff. That was such a killer for the 49ers. Right. They were just down and out at that point. And what a huge moment for Jacoby Jones. And,
right. I think that, to me, was right up there with the, was it 99 or 100-yard return by... I can't remember his name. The Steelers defensive lineman that caught that interception and ran it back for 100 yards in the Super Bowl. Pittsburgh and Arizona.
I'm not going to be able to tell you his name.
That was insane. I think it was Harrison. I want to say it was Harrison.
Okay. And like I said last week too, though, and we're talking about big plays, and this is just kind of things that happen throughout the game, but all of the Ravens' turnovers really helped them get that lead. I knew the defense was going to have to step up. They had to step up because you saw them come back. You know how quick the 49ers can score the ball.
Mm-hmm.
So those turnovers really, really helped.
Right.
And Ed Reed played great. Ed Reed, I mean, there was a lot of deep balls that got away, but Ed Reed knew where that ball was going. You saw him one time. I saw him jump up and just rip someone.
Yeah, I mean, he got at least two pass breakups and an interception.
Yes,
and that interception
big.
Was huge.
Yes.
So, okay, well, let's talk my favorite moment real quick. I would also have to say Jacoby Jones, but not the 108-yard return. I'd have to go with his 69-yard touchdown pass from Joe Flacco when he fell on the ground.
Oh, I mean, that was such a nice play.
That was a big
moment. And people could argue that Jacoby Jones should have been MVP of that game.
Yeah,
With a return for a touchdown.
Oh, two touchdowns, I mean.
Get up, spin a dude, and then juke a guy out and go to the end zone. That was huge.
He just outran him around the corner.
And just catching that ball, too. I mean, that was a prayer.
Yeah. Definitely. That's what Flacco does, and Flacco's good at it.
Yeah, that was a Doug Flutie prayer.
Well, he threw multiple prayers up in that game.
Yeah.
That worked out well for them.
Yes. Yeah.
Anquan Boldin played well, too.
That game could have easily gone the other way.
Oh, definitely. And that's the thing about the Super Bowl. These teams probably made one of the best Super Bowls I've seen, especially in the last 5-6 years. Like, yeah, we've all seen New England and New York. The first time they matched up, it was really good. Good game. But I didn't, like last year's New England-New York game, I was like, I just don't really care. But this game was pretty compelling to me, I think.
It definitely was. Yeah. And it was two teams you haven't seen there in a while. So
and brothers. I mean, you can't get better than brothers. Too.
And the older brother came out on top, which they usually do.
Yeah.
Speaking as an older brother.
Yeah.
So.
Notes to any of Taylor Phelps' family, you're going to lose. All right, well, let's move on. Beyonce's halftime show, that was your favorite moment. Let's talk what all happened in the halftime show.
Well, Destiny's Child was there, being a 90s baby.
Right, that was surprising.
I thought that was pretty cool when they popped up.
Yeah, and there was rumors that they started that rumor themselves that, oh, well, they're not going to do it, and then they just surprised everybody. So I was really shocked. Cool. I didn't think it was going to happen. I was so excited.
That was pretty cool.
I like how Rachel jumped on that topic.
Oh, yeah.
First one to speak about Beyonce. Yeah.
Well, I mean, anyone that was born in the 90s was like, whoa, Destiny's Child is back.
Yeah, that was cool.
That was insane. And then that she got them to sing Single Ladies with her, I think that was pretty funny, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not that big a fan of Beyonce, but everybody knows Single Ladies.
Yeah,
I mean,
oh, yeah.
I thought she did a good job.
Yeah. I mean,
how what she was wearing up there, how is that any different
than the nip slip?
than going back to, like, Janet Jackson.
I do
want
to say that, too. Like,
is that,
like,
less risque?
I think they're starting to go back to that.
Right.
Because they've gotten away from it. I mean, Paul McCartney is not going to do anything.
I mean, no, did y'all see what she was wearing? She was wearing underwear with a see-through skirt.
Right.
Yeah, and neither is Bryan Adams.
Half of a shirt.
I mean, like, the one time she turned around, I was like, what in the world? Like, what is she wearing?
Right. It was and her clones up there and Destiny's Child, none of them were really wearing much better.
No.
Destiny's Child didn't even have the see-through shirt. They just had the underwear part, I think.
Oh, yeah. That's what it was like.
I feel like that's kind of what the culture of the Super Bowl halftime show is moved to, is more seductive. And
Well,
they
try to get away from that.
Well, they know it sells.
Yeah.
They know it sells.
Yeah. That's what it's
They went
about.
Away with it for a few years after the Janet Jackson thing, and I think they're starting to kind of move back.
Because
to
while a lot of people like Bryan Adams, like, a lot of young people don't also. And Prince and Paul McCartney, it's kind of like, yeah, that's cool for us, but we also want to see, like, the new songs. And I think they should go, I think it would be better, like, how MTV did it when the whole controversy happened, but they had several people too.
Right.
I would like to see a couple stages and, like, multiple people come out and surprise
that
people that you
cool.
don't really know about are coming. That would be really awesome. And maybe get someone classic in there. If you have a few people come on stage, that would be really cool.
Because I think the tickets are going to sell out regardless of who's.
It's not going to matter who's doing the show. Although, I know, like, when I was still in high school and they did the Rolling Stones, I think almost everyone was disappointed in that. I don't think that went over very well.
No.
And then the Who coming on, they were, they're flashy show, but it wasn't that good. Me personally, as a fan of them, I think it'd be awesome to see a Mumford & Sons halftime show. And, like, because they bring, what they do is they go to towns and bring, like, 5 or 6 different bands, and they're all playing at the same stages. I think that would be cool, like, them and bring in Dawes or bring in Bruce Springsteen, because they do stuff with him all the time. I think that would be really cool.
I would
cool
like to see a show. Few different genres.
Yeah,
so
not
like
just...
Maybe bring in a rapper, yeah. Bring in an old school
guy. Have two
guy.
Or three different songs from
yeah,
two or three
Mumford
different people.
Yeah, bring in Mumford & Sons or mm-hmm. something and just do kind of like a collaborative show.
Yeah.
And then at the end, they all do something together that's like really awesome.
Yeah, and that you
so
don't
that
expect
cool.
any of them to do together.
Oh, yeah,
like,
totally.
Like, what was that? There was some something really recently that was like George Strait and some rapper or something like that.
Yeah,
I don't
like,
want to start.
Do something like yeah. that. Like do like Drake and...
They each do their own song and then come together.
At yeah, the end. And make, yeah. It, yeah. make it sound good. Like yeah. not just...
Bring
just
back right, Outkast the and have them do something with Beyonce. Do something right. with...
So is that what they're doing now? Are they leaning away from the younger... are they getting people towards the end of their careers or even out of their careers? Is that
well, I mean,
basically...
Beyonce's right at the peak. I think she's
yeah,
right
she's right in there.
So,
if...
so do you, what's the chance of them bringing Taylor Swift on?
Because you're a Taylor Swift fan.
What's the chances we see Taylor
I
mean, Swift?
I hope
happen?
None, because she sounds awful live.
Oh.
Whoa.
She does.
Whoa.
She does.
I don't I've never heard her live, but I know that she sells a lot of...
She does.
She sells a lot of albums, and she's crossed over. Right. I mean, you can hear her on country stations. You can hear her on...
If she ever came on, it's going to be with someone else.
Yeah,
it's
I think...
It's going to be like a collaborative kind
I think
of thing.
Besides the edge of the fan group like you, Billups, I think for the normal guy, it's going to be a
they
tough
don't
sell.
They want to see Taylor Swift
yeah,
up there.
It's going to be a tough sell to get
and
Taylor Swift up there
let's
singing
honest,
about breakups. And
they don't want to see the seductive Taylor Swift. They want to see
well, you wouldn't see
Beyonce.
The seductive
Taylor Yeah, you wouldn't see the seductive
yeah.
Taylor Swift. Cause that's,
which maybe that's a good thing.
Right, yeah. And that's yeah. not her image. She's not the seductive person. She's
they'd
the
want to see Beyonce.
I broke up with someone again.
Maybe our culture yeah. could use that turnaround.
maybe. But that's this show isn't about morality. It's just about
true that.
About sports. Which, I mean, morality is good, too, but that's beside the point. Anyway.
We're not about morality here at KETR.
Let's get off that rabbit trail. okay, so let's talk the biggest controversy of the Super Bowl, and we're going to have to sum this up quick because our segment's almost over. The light's going off. Some could say that almost won the game for the 49ers. Others could say just a fluke. What do you guys think?
Well, I know one thing. It was not Beyonce.
It was not Beyonce.
They did come out and say, the energy company came out and say she used her own generator for that. There was a
right.
separate generator, so it wasn't her. They said it was an overload on the lights or something. I don't know what it was. But
they predicted this could happen earlier this season here.
Oh, I remember. It's because the lights went off. When the lights went off for Beyonce, they came back on, and it was like an overload.
Right.
So that's what happened.
They probably
someone
brought him up
fired.
Too fast. Oh,
yeah,
sure.
Someone
yeah.
got fired.
Yeah.
I think the lights going off was a huge momentum
yeah.
Shift for the 49ers. That Baltimore, what were they up 28-6 at that
28-6,
point?
28-6, yes.
I mean,
that was right after the
they had the game.
Too.
I mean, they had the game. They had all the momentum.
Yeah.
49ers just looked dead. I mean, they looked like they had no life left in them. And then they had all that time to think about it, get back the momentum for as far as the Baltimore side goes, kind of dropped off. They kind of they weren't playing as passionate, yeah. maybe.
Had a whole new game.
And so the 49ers, I mean, I think you really saw the possibly the better team making that comeback at the end of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When you have both teams not playing with, you know, you had to kind of take the passion out of it. You just have the skill levels of the team. So
now, while that's a big controversy, let's look at the Michael Crabtree holding call at
the
end,
holding,
too.
Yes, that's very important.
Let's mention that before. Now, while the lights were controversy, a lot of 49ers fans are saying that should have been holding.
Mm-hmm. It should have been.
That's the end of the game, man.
Yeah, and
like,
but how is a ref, if you're not 100% sure as a ref at the end of that game, you're not going
right.
to throw that flag because that's on your head if you
right.
miss that call.
Yes, and Crabtree was pushing off, too. And this is
he
like,
was grabbing
this is
him.
Super Bowl.
It's the end of any game.
Yeah.
Refs just don't call. They don't want to make the game change.
You don't.
Call.
Yeah, the game shouldn't come
yeah.
down to a call,
it
which
it come
did.
Down to it.
I mean, if you think about it, it did yeah. come down to a call. But
and
it
was
whether to make the
it
call.
It was
or not
a holding.
Call,
I mean, it should have put him on the 1 yard
yeah.
line.
But you could also make the,
who knows what happens,
the argument that it was uncatchable ball. I mean, even if he
yes.
had caught it, it would have been a miracle if he got his feet
to get
down.
His feet in. That's yeah. true.
I mean, that was almost as much of a controversy as the Mike Wallace Super Bowl catch back to the Steelers and Cardinals. I personally don't think he was in, but that's neither here nor there.
Well, let's look at next season. Who's your predictions for next year's Super Bowl?
Right, let's do that real quick. I think Atlanta will be in the Super Bowl. I think Matt Ryan, he stepped up in unbelievable ways this year. He had great regular season. He had great playoffs. I mean, they almost beat the Niners. They were right there. And they were up 21 to, I think, 7, and the Niners came back and beat them.
Okay, so who do you have them playing?
I'm going to go either the I'll give you three choices. I'll give the Ravens, the Patriots, or the Texans. I think the Texans, just talent-wise, are the best team in the NFL. I think they've got the best, one of the best receivers, one of the best running backs, and top 10 quarterback. I wouldn't say he's one of the top five. But just numbers-wise, talent-wise, defense, J.J. Watt, Texans have a great team. But they always seem to fall apart in the second half of the season. So I don't know. I think paper-wise, they should be in the Super Bowl against the Falcons.
Okay. Rachel, do you have a prediction?
No.
Okay. What about you, Taylor?
Are you a Cowboys fan?
I'm not a big Cowboys fan.
Okay. Well, just so
I'm
Niners,
not a big Rachel fan.
You want the Niners?
Well, I'm taking the Cowboys to win the whole thing. No,
okay.
That's neither here nor there.
That's a little.
That's not going to happen.
Right. Probably not.
Got a home.
But I am going
here.
Away from you, Cooper, in completely different direction.
Okay.
49ers.
49ers.
I think they've got it all together. I think they've figured out the system. They have their quarterback. They're going to have the same talent. One of the most talented teams in the NFL. They're going to be back. But I do think they're going to lose to neither any of those three teams. I think it's going to be the Broncos.
The Broncos. That's
I think
another
the Broncos
good team.
Will be there. I think Peyton Manning wants to get back, and I think he's going to retire.
So you have the Broncos winning it all.
Pretty soon. Yeah, I think the Broncos won the whole thing.
Right. Against the 49ers?
Against the 49ers.
Okay.
Okay.
What about you?
I was going to put the Cowboys in there, but since y'all said that was a bad idea, I guess I'm going to go with the 49ers as well. They're a young team. They have a lot of talent, and they have looks like an emerging quarterback. I put them in there, and I'm with Taylor. I put the Denver Broncos in there. You look at how they put it together towards the end of that season last year. It was pretty fun to watch, and I think put another year under their belt, and I think they have a real good shot at it. And I have the Broncos winning it.
All right. Well, that was our third segment. We're going to go to our fourth and final segment in just a moment. Stay tuned. This is KETR's Locker Room.
Coming up on the Grin and Bear It Show, Ace Private Eye is on the case of the festival art fiasco. Hear a titillating tale full of intrigue.
I actually never properly thanked you for burning the trash, if you catch my drift.
Romance.
Whoa, hey, is it hot in here?
And mystery.
There was a new museum owner. Dead.
Travel back to 1940s Chicago during the Grin and Bear It Show, coming up on a special night, Thursday at 7 p.m. on KETR.
This is KETR's Locker Room, the only worthwhile sports podcast in Northeast Texas. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Cooper Welch, one of your hosts, along with Ryan Billups and Taylor Phelps. Sadly, Rachel Robertson had to leave to go to track practice. She's being responsible. Good for her. All right, guys, let's talk about the Mavericks. What do you guys think?
They're terrible. That's what I think. The Mavericks are 20 and 28 right now in the Southwest Division, which is a good division, but it's not the best division in basketball right now. It's not even the best division in the West. Now, the East isn't very good anyway, but the West is just all these teams in their division, and all the teams are beating up on them. And they'll come through one game, they'll have a good game, but that's just because they have young players. They have some young players like Damian Lillard, OJ, or not Damian Lillard, excuse me.
That's Portland.
Yes, I was looking at Portland. They play Portland tomorrow. Anyway, they have Darren Collison at point guard. They have OJ Mayo. They have people like Chris Kaman, Vince Carter. They got people that can score.
Right.
And they got some young players who can come in there and do things like Brandon Wright, Bernard James, Jay Crowder. But they're not consistent. They're not consistent enough to make the – I don't even want them to make the playoffs. If they make the playoffs,
they're gonna
then
miss out
we're
on
just
going
to be stuck in some eighth seed.
Well, it's the weakest draft
that's true.
I've seen in a long time. And so I don't think we need to worry about getting the 12th seed compared to the 12th pick in the draft compared to the 18th. I don't think it's going to really make a difference.
Yeah, that won't make that much difference.
It is true, but you never know. Maybe we could get somebody like Oladipo out of Indiana. Mm. Maybe if we could grab somebody like that and maybe develop them. Mm. You know, I just don't think being a 7th or 8th seed in the NBA helps you at all. I think you sell a little more tickets. you're a little better because people think you can compete, but that's just a misconception.
Well, I mean, playoff experience is always good. It is good.
Well, how does the Mavs' ability to compete this year affect their offseason as far as free agency goes? I think if they have a horrible rest of the season and they tank, what are the chances Dwight Howard's going to leave the mess in Lakers to go to the mess in Dallas?
Right.
I mean, I think they need to compete. And they need to play hard for them to have any chance of signing a big fish this offseason.
Our defense is so bad right now. We're 30th in the NBA in points allowed. We give up 103 points a game. There's no way any team should score 100.5 points a game, be ninth in the league in scoring, and be losing and be 20-28. There's no way. When you're 30th in the league in points allowed, you're not going to win. That's a problem. There's a serious defensive problem. And I don't think it's Rick Carlisle's fault. I think it's experience. I think we turn the ball over at an enormous amount rate. It's just things aren't good. And I don't even think this team makes sense.
I'm going to be glass half full on the Mavs.
Okay.
Yes, they are struggling, but they've also showed glimpses of brilliance. When they put it all together, this young team, when they figure it out and they put it all together, and a night goes well. I mean, you've seen them just blowing out teams recently. Look at them against the Trailblazers the other night. They just absolutely blew them out. Mm-hmm. Yes, they let them come back and beat them in overtime, but they had like a 29-point lead and going into the fourth.
But that's because they can score. They can score.
Look at last night against the Thunder. You saw them get blown out. That's the first game you've really seen the Mavs get blown out in like two or three weeks. I mean, they've been playing good ball, and it's because Vince Carter wasn't there. Vince Carter is probably one of the most valuable players on this team this year. He's averaging almost 15 points a game, shooting 45%. He scored 29 last time they played the Thunder in that overtime loss. I think Vince is going to be huge to the success of our team this year. He'll be back. I think he had a sickness or something.
Right.
I don't know what, probably a bug, stomach bug or something. I'm not giving up on them yet. They need to pull some wins. They're only 5.5 games out. I think they need to obviously put some wins together. They're playing close in a lot of games. They got to start turning those into W's.
Right.
I think if they can squeak in at the 7th, 8th, if they could get up to the 6th seed, I think they could make a splash in the playoffs. I really do.
I just think I'm looking at their points per game right now, and the three top people are O.J. Mayo, a very poor version of Dirk Nowitzki that we haven't seen since his first came into the league at 14 points a game. Okay. Dirk is an MVP. I think he's a scoring. I don't know if he's a scoring.
But didn't that happen last year?
He's a scoring champion. He is an MVP of the finals. He is an NBA champion. I think he's a franchise leader in points. I mean, and this guy's scoring 14 points a game.
The same thing happened last year when he came off injury. But by the time he got to playoffs, when we played Oklahoma City in the first round, yes, we get swept. But how awesome was Dirk in those four games?
I mean, we were in every game. We're in every game because we could score.
Yeah, that's true.
If you can play D, you're going to be in every game.
Yeah, I think
the Bulls are in every game because the Bulls play defense.
Right. I think what we're seeing here is similar to the 07 Golden State Warriors that beat the Mavs in that playoff round. I think that's what we're seeing. I think they can score the lights out.
So your upset does make sense.
But what happens to this team? What happens to this team if Dirk starts playing like Dirk did last year,
like
towards the end of the year?
A game?
If Dirk starts playing like he has every single year of his career, and he's proven over and over again that he probably will do again, what happens when he starts doing that?
I just don't know if he's going to do it.
Right.
I think he will. I think it's just going to take time. The same thing happened last year off injury. It took him months to come back and start playing normal again.
Dirk's a big guy, and he's not a tremendous. I mean, he's a good athlete, but he's not just gonna come back and just kill like if LeBron James was injured or when Derrick Rose comes back, it's gonna be amazing what he does.
We'll see. All right, we've only got about 5 minutes left, so let's quickly talk a little bit of college hoops as well. The Longhorns are 10-12 this year, 2-7 in the Big 12. They lost last night to West Virginia. Do you guys think this is Rick Barnes' final year?
I do.
Because the Longhorns are 260th in scoring. They're 50th in rebounds overall, which is not bad, 228th in assists per game, and 263rd in field goal percentage.
They just look lost when they're out there playing.
They do.
They don't even look like they run an offense.
Right.
They look horrible. Rick Barnes has kept his job for so long because of his incredible recruiting talents. You haven't seen that in the last, what, four years now?
Dry.
I mean, he's not recruiting those same players, the Kevin Durant, LaMarcus Aldridge, TJ Ford. I mean, he's not getting those all-star players anymore.
Yeah. Who's he sending to the NBA?
And that was what was keeping him afloat. And they weren't, they make it to the Sweet 16 once? Was that their best ever?
I mean, if you can't win a championship with Kevin Durant college.
Yeah, I just.
And he was averaging like 30. I mean, he was averaging a lot in college.
Texas sports have been so dominant for so long. I think it's time for them to move on
from Rick Barnes and Mac Brown.
I think Mac Brown will be soon.
I think they're both on their last season for sure.
I think so.
Unless something happens, they got to do something. Yeah. I mean, I think Rick Barnes is done.
I think Mac Brown is done.
I think one season.
Mac Brown, if they can,
make a BCS
win
bowl,
9 or 10 games, maybe
if they get back to 10 games, 10 wins per season,
maybe he keeps his job.
Maybe he's got it still, but. Gosh, Rick Barnes is just...
I'm just sick of seeing Texas teams struggle. I mean, how many national championships has Texas won?
Well, you know, it doesn't matter because whoever goes to Texas is going to have to really step it up, too, because A&M's about to get a ton of basketball recruits.
Well, what Texas kid would want to go to Texas over A&M now?
Oh, I'm going to A&M now.
Yeah, I would go to A&M.
Our football team's better.
In a heartbeat.
Their
SEC.
Basketball gym is newer.
Every kid wants to play in the SEC.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely. They get to play Kentucky and Florida.
I mean, SEC, except maybe in track and volleyball, you could argue the SEC is better in every sport.
Yes.
Basketball, football, baseball, you could argue, even though Texas still wins baseball.
And SEC has all the high caliber coaches, the high profile coaches. Mm-hmm. I mean, you see all these big names in the SEC, contracts.
I think one problem is that I think these new coaches are taking away Rick Barnes' recruits. Mm-hmm. I think Rick Barnes, if he would refocus his attention towards Texas players, there's enough talent in this state, in Houston, the small towns, in Dallas, in San Antonio, there's good players over the state. If he'd refocus his recruiting emphasis here and letting these kids slip away to A&M, and slip away all over the country, then he's going to be able to do better. Instead of getting kids from Washington, D.C. and the East Coast, those kids don't want to come to Texas.
And junior
especially
college,
now. Especially now since they're struggling. Why would they want to come to Texas? They want to go to Kentucky. They want to go to Indiana. They want to go to Duke. They want to go to North Carolina.
And this
West
is football
Virginia,
and basketball we're talking about. Yeah. Texas still has incredible programs in baseball and volleyball and other sports.
And,
I mean,
and even Texas basketball and football is still an incredible moneymaker.
Is Texas the most national championships of any school?
I don't think so.
Is that pretty close?
UCLA.
Alabama has the most football.
Are we talking about football or are we talking about
all sports?
I think it might be UCLA.
Yeah, UCLA.
But in the last decade, you'd have to give it to Texas. I mean, they've won so much.
I think Alabama and LSU would be very close there, too. We'll have to check on that later. We'll post it on the Facebook page. All right, guys, quickly, let's move on to the final part of our show. We're going to talk next week's sporting events for A&M Commerce, the Commerce High School, Mavs, Stars, and we'll very quickly tell you where to find all of our Facebook stuff. So first, Taylor, tell us what's coming up next week in A&M Commerce basketball.
Well, tonight, ACU at the Fieldhouse.
Is it tonight or tomorrow?
Oh, tomorrow. Tomorrow night at ACU at the Fieldhouse, women's, men's, back-to-back. I think the women start at like 5, men start at 7:30. So that will be a very good game if people want to come out from the community as well as the school here.
And you can hear it on 88.9
And you can
KETR.
Hear it on KETR, too. And then Saturday, both teams again at Angelo.
Right.
So we've beaten both of these teams once. The men have. The women, I think, lost to ACU. They might have beaten Angelo. I think they lost to Angelo, too.
Okay.
So women trying to get revenge and the men trying to beat them the second time.
Right.
So that's what's going on in basketball.
Okay. Well, we've got Commerce High School, Como Picton, tonight, at 6:30 and 7:30. That's varsity men and women. Mavs games, so what's coming up in the Mavs schedule?
Well, they play Portland next game. This is a team that they just almost blew out. They ended up letting them come back and bring it to overtime. No, they didn't even bring it to overtime. They beat us on a last-second shot on a controversial foul call.
Right.
Always seem to come back.
It was definitely a charge, OJ, or it was definitely a blocking foul, but they called a charge. League came out and even said they made the wrong call.
And LaMarcus Aldridge traveled, too.
Right.
Mentioned that on his three-pointer.
And so,
but I mean, big stars always get
there. Oh, yeah, he's going to get that call.
And so now they have a chance to play him again.
Right.
So I'm really curious to see how they come out and play. Okay. And just to mention what I was saying earlier about Texas. I looked it up. They are 10th in all time of all D1 schools as far as titles
in
go.
Championships.
In total championships. UCLA is number one.
Yes, got that right.
All right, cool. Well, let's quickly sum it up. We've got Stars back. NHL is back. They've got a game tomorrow in Edmonton, Canada at 8:30. So be sure to tune in for that, too, if you're a hockey fan. All right, guys, that was our show this week. This is KETR's Locker Room. I'm Cooper Welch. Ryan Billups and Taylor Phelps join me. And our guest was Rachel Robertson. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll be back again next week, 2 o'clock. ¶¶